But Mark chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 35. Everybody able to stand? Standing, amen. You got it, say amen.
Amen.
And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. They're going to blast the shofar. We need you to give the Lord praise for his word this morning. Come on, and let's bless him as we get ready to break bread today. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you today. We bless you this morning. Bless you today. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your word that is anointed today. God, anoint us today. We worship you this morning. We give you honor and glory. Hallelujah. 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 Great, great I am. Praise God. You may be seated today. And if the Lord will allow me and honor me one more time, I want to minister on this thought. Simply wearing out the enemy. Amen. Wearing out the enemy. Amen. Look at your neighbor and repeat that. Wearing out the enemy. Praise God. Praise God. And when we look at the context of the scriptures that we read to you at the end of chapter 4, the book of Mark, you've got to look at the beginning. Mark chapter 4 starts with Jesus teaching by parables, amen? Now, we know that Jesus taught a lot, most often by parables, and the word parable comes from the idea to set alongside, and the idea is to give a spiritual truth alongside an example of daily living, amen? So Jesus would take a spiritual truth, and then he would put it alongside with a daily truth, something that they knew in their everyday lives, and he would put that together and make an application with that. And so the Bible tells us here in Mark chapter 4 that Jesus, amen, was teaching in parables, and he was doing so by the sea. And the Bible says that he got in a boat, and he sat in it on the sea. It's interesting to me that Jesus would often use a boat as a pulpit. Amen. He would go in a boat. Oftentimes, you will see that he would go in a boat, sit in it, amen, as it's silence, and he would teach and preach. Now that was a real drastic change from the tradition of teaching in the synagogue, amen. But we know that Jesus, amen, never followed tradition, amen. So I said that to say this: there can be a pulpit anywhere. You don't have to have, amen, a sanctuary. You don't have to have a lectern, amen, or a pulpit here, but you can make a pulpit, amen, wherever the Lord allows and leads. Praise God. And so the disciples, as Jesus was teaching, the Bible says, amen, here, that the disciples asked why that he taught in parables. And Jesus began to explain to them. He said, you know the mystery of the kingdom. He said, you understand the mystery of the kingdom. Now, what we have to understand about that is in the Bible, a mystery isn't something that you can't figure out, but it's something that you won't know unless God reveals it to you. Remember the Apostle Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery, amen, concerning those that sleep in the Lord, amen. Praise God. So a mystery in the Word isn't there so that you cannot figure it out, amen, but it's something you can't know unless God, through the Holy Spirit, reveals it to you. And so in the biblical sense of the idea, you may know exactly what a mystery is, yet it's still a mystery because you wouldn't have known it unless God revealed it. Amen? So he's telling the disciples, you understand the mystery of the kingdom. Amen. But you see, they are really riddles. These parables are riddles or puzzles that are only understood by those who have the right key. Amen. So parables, Jesus used parables because it offered listeners an opportunity to dig deep, amen, and to find the truth, or they could just turn a blind eye to what would be an interesting story. So Jesus left it up to them to whether they wanted, amen, to understand more. Praise God. And so he told the disciples, you have the key to this, amen, but those listening don't, amen. And so it's up to them, amen, that should they turn and be forgiven. Amen. So I'm thankful today, amen, that Jesus would bring it down to our level. Amen. That we could, that he would give us an opportunity, amen, in the word. Praise God, that God would allow us to be able to understand more of him. I've said it many, many times. He's not hiding from you. He's not trying to trick you or catch you up. You have to seek him. Amen. And if you seek him, I promise you will find him. People often say, I'm in a very difficult situation, or this is a problem, amen, or this is a tragedy, and I just don't understand where God is. He's there. You just have to look for him. Amen. I promise you in all things that God is there. Are you thankful today for the faithfulness of God? Amen. Just hang with me. Hallelujah. As we lay a foundation. Amen. The Bible says, praise God, amen, that Jesus would often use parables, amen, to blind people, amen. He didn't use them to people who were literally blind, amen, but because they were blind, amen, they would be blessed that he would be able, amen, to understand the parables, amen, that he would come to them so that they might have understanding. And the Bible says that when he got the disciples alone, that he would explain things to them, amen, on a deeper level. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that on the saints was teaching in these parables, and he was talking and teaching from this boat on the ship, that when the evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross to the other side. Now, this would have been the Sea of Galilee. Now, we know, amen, according to, amen, the geography, that it was really more like a lake, amen, than it was a sea as we perceive it. But Jesus said to them, let us cross to the other side. And the Bible says that they took him in the same boat that he was already in. Amen. Now, Jesus was obviously weary. He was obviously needing a time of rest. Amen. He obviously needed, amen, or desired some time away. And the Bible says that they took Jesus. Interesting to me that the Bible says that if you look at the complete Jewish Bible, in the Hebrew translation, it says that they took him, amen, as he was. Amen. Shore, amen, and to let everyone know that they were leaving. They didn't wait for coats or for garments, amen, but they took Jesus just as he was. Can I tell you that we have to take him just as he is? Amen. Sadly enough, in the church culture, amen, and in the world, people have created all different versions of Jesus. But can I tell you that we cannot take amen, him as we wish he was. Amen. We cannot take him as others say he is. We cannot take him as we see him in other people's lives. But we have to take him just as he is. He is, amen, the Son of the living God. He came to this earth. Hallelujah. Put on a robe of flesh. Walked among the people. Took on, amen, the flesh, became
humanity so that he can understand everything that you and I will ever feel or experience. But he not only came, hallelujah, amen, in the flesh, but he also came to fulfill the will of God. He didn't come to do away with the law, but he came, amen, to fulfill it. We can kind of look at it, hallelujah, that Moses came and brought the law. That was the foundation of the house. But when Jesus came, he became the roof. Amen, that was over the house. So now the foundation, amen, that is built is him. He is the chief cornerstone. But not only did he come and live, he was without sin. Why? So that we could be born again. Because at the appointed time, he became that Passover lamb. Amen. They hung him on. He was crucified. Hallelujah. And he died. And they took him down and laid him in a borrowed tomb. And he said, tear this temple down, Sister Rory, but in 3 days I will rebuild it. And the third appointed day, he rose up out of that grave. He never had anyone resurrected, hallelujah, like him. And never again has there ever been. Somebody help me in this place. And when he resurrected, we sang a little bit about it. Somehow or another, the Bible isn't real clear, but we get the picture that Jesus went into the heart of the earth and he took dominion over darkness and he took possession back of the keys of death and hell. And not only did he raise and become the first fruits of our, we can rise and live again by resurrection. So that when he said, hallelujah, 37 days later, he stood up Mount of Olives and he said, I would love to hang out with you, but it's important. I gotta quickly go away, but I'm not gonna leave you without comfort, because I've been praying to the Father that when I go away, he sends you another comforter that will lead you and guide you in all ways of truth. And the Bible says that he ascended back up into the heavens. And the angel said, why stand ye here gazing? The same Jesus that you see leaving him back in like manner in the clouds. And we know that, hallelujah, 10 days, hallelujah, later the Holy Ghost came. They were filled. This was birth. But Jesus went back, took his rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives, to make intercession for his people. And the Bible says the only way that we're going to get to the Father is through Jesus. Somebody help me. You can't just show up to church, but you must be born again. And if you're born again, you'll set yourself aside, consecrate your life to bring, hallelujah, holiness and honor to God. That's the Jesus that I serve and live for. That's the one that's going to get you, hallelujah, where God desires for each and every one of us to be. And so now, here they are. And they're on this boat. The Bible says that they, as they get moving across the Sea of Galilee, arose. Very familiar story to most, that a windstorm arose. Now, what you have to understand is that the Sea of Galilee, a windstorm and storms was not uncommon to blow up on the Sea of Galilee. It was actually known for its sudden, violent storms. So this was not something that was uncommon. So the storm didn't take the disciples by surprise. I'll let you chew on that for about 30 seconds. It wasn't the storm itself that took them by surprise.
Come on now.
But it was the severity of the storm that caught them off guard. I know there's been teaching in decades past that a man, the body of Christ, should not encounter struggles and hard times, but that is heresy. That is not biblical. Jesus said, if you're going to reign with me, you will suffer with me. And the Apostle Paul spoke much about suffering and about putting our bodies and our lives under subjection. So we must not be surprised, amen, in this race. And as we are in pursuit, amen, of the final goal as we serve God, we must not be surprised when storms arise. Amen. Yesterday it was hot and sunny. Amen. And the sky was clear, but all of a sudden, amen, the sky began to get black. Amen. It stayed black for a while. Then the wind started picking up, and then it started blowing harder and harder. Amen. And the leaves on the trees began to, amen, turn. Hallelujah. With the wind. And then all of a sudden, there came a great downpour. I'm talking torrential, right? It was a torrential downpour. And lightning began to flash. Amen. It wasn't even really forecast, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this happened. Well, we live in a place where that is a possibility. But why do we always go, oh my gosh, it's a storm. Like we've never seen a storm in Ohio before in the middle of the summer when it's 95 degrees, amen, under a shade tree and so humid, amen. Humidity will cut you, and amen, praise God, it's so thick, amen, but we get surprised, amen, storms turn. So fishermen on board this ship who had been on the Sea of Galilee plenty of times. So a storm would not have been, amen, in and of itself would not have been an issue. But it's when the wind began to become violent, amen. It wasn't even rain, it was, and that wind began to pick up. Hallelujah. Amen. And so they knew, amen, by how the wind was increasing and blowing. And it blew to the point it became so strong that it was blowing, amen, water into the boat, that the boat was filling up with water. And being the experienced fishermen that were, they thought that this was the storm that was going to take them out. I don't know who I'm talking to in this place today. And you're going through a storm. Somebody or more than one in the house is experiencing a storm. The storm in and of itself is not a shock or a surprise, because you've been through storms already. But this one seems to be a little over the top. And it's to the point, amen, that the wind doesn't seem to die down. It seems to come harder and harder. And it just does not seem like there is any clearing on the horizon. And the enemy may have convinced you that this is the one that's going to take you down. Well, I come to tell somebody in the house today, oh, you better help me in this place, that this storm will not take you out in the name of Jesus. I'm not prophesying, I'm declaring that if you stand firm in the word and give Jesus, amen, everything, this storm will not take you out. But you say, when is it going to end? I don't know, but I can tell you that there is something inside of you that has given you authority. Hallelujah, over the storm. Felt like that this storm is the one. waves broke over the boat to the point that the boat was close to being swamped. But there was no remedy. Jesus was asleep in the stern on a pillow. Well, I was thinking about that this morning. It said, I went to bed, I'm surrounded on every side, looking like I was defeated. But I laid my head down to sleep. I'm convinced by reading the psalm that David wasn't sure whether or not he would be seized in the night. But he said, when I woke up, when I opened my eyes, I knew the Lord had sustained me. And I thought about that pillow. What is that pillow in the spirit? It's the Word of God. When everything around me is falling apart, when it seems all chaos is ensued, you know, in just a typical storm, you know, you turn in one direction, you go to the north, amen, it might be raining and blowing, praise God, but you turn, amen, to the west, and then, amen, it may be raining a little bit and not so bad, but then you go to the south, and a lot of times there's no rain at all, so at least you got a direction, then you go west, and amen, there's no storm there either. But how many of you have ever, in every direction that you turn, there seems to be a storm, surrounded by chaos, surrounded by the enemy, and the enemy will convince you that you're going to lose it, amen, that you're not going to make it through, that the impossibilities, amen, are just too much, and the odds are stacked against it, even God, because it's been so long. Somebody help me in this place. Hallelujah, but somehow you know the Word, and the Word tells us that He is with us, tells us that He is our shield and our buckler, tells us that in, amen, under the shadow of His wings, we are kept safe, that even though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, the very shadow of evil, Thou art with me, Thy rod, my sack, they comfort me. El Rohi, my shepherd. Somebody help me. So you can lay your head on the pillow. Close your eyes. That pillow is the Word. And if you want, hallelujah, praise God. If you don't, you'll be in the presence of the One that you've been working for. Somebody help me. Jesus, amen, lay His head on the Word. And they woke him up. And they said, Rabbi, doesn't it matter to you that we're about to be killed? Don't act like you never said that to God. Don't you care that we're about to be killed? How many times has the enemy convinced you that God just doesn't care? It's not a matter of what He can do, what He will do. It's that issue, does He even care? See, here's the thing that I've learned. That when we question His care, we begin to question His protection. And when we question His protection, we begin to doubt His provision. Are you hearing me? When we begin to question whether or not He cares, we then begin to question His promise to protect us. And when we question His protection, we begin to doubt His provision. And it works in reverse. When we begin to question His provision, we begin to doubt His protection. We can expound on that in another message, but you have to understand that when God provides, it means protection is coming. When God protects you from something, it means provision is coming. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. So understand where their mindset was. Don't you even care that we're about to be killed? Now, Jesus' need for sleep showed us His humanity side. I thought this morning, I'm glad He got tired. Because I'm tired today. Amen? But His need to sleep, His need to rest, showed us the human side. I've never thought about this before until I was preparing this message. But think of all the things that Jesus could have worried about. He could have worried about all the religious and political leaders who were plotting against Him. Everybody who was against Him. He could have worried about what people, especially His family, thought of Him. Remember he comes in and He's preaching. Amen. I told you, he's teaching and preaching from a boat. Amen. When rabbis are supposed to do it from the synagogue, not from, amen, a ship. Amen. Unconventional. He's saying things. Amen. He's doing things on the Sabbath. He's performing miracles. And He's breaking, amen, what they consider to religious tradition. And Paul, listen, I got to think about this. I probably would have been worried about the disciples I chose. Lord, help us. Ooh, Peter. What have I done? Oh, Peter. I'm very sure John was, but he's probably going to make everybody else jealous. We ain't going to mention Judas. I know what's coming. I'm dealing with that. Right? He could have worried about the disciples that He chose. Amen. He could have worried about the future because He knew what His destiny was. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I'm trying to take you somewhere in your mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Worry in and of itself, the thoughts, amen, and the concerns are not a sin. It's where we take worry, where we allow worry to take us, is to what extent. Are you with me? Amen. Fret not. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. I'm not a worrier by nature. Amen. I'm just not. Amen. Things I just don't think that far ahead. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But, amen, there are times when things, when you're in the middle of a storm, amen, and there's a season that you are in. We told you we're up on 2 years in this current, I said, every direction season that we have been in. Hallelujah. And there comes moments that overtake you and you feel a sense of a worry and a sense of dread and a sense of anxiety. Like, what am I going to do? And if I told you how many times I sat in my prayer closet, amen, and I released that unto God, that I would begin to pray about the things that needed, amen, I moved upon, and the direct, amen, immediate things, and I could feel myself in me getting overwhelmed, and even saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do, but here I am, it's just You and me, I can't change any of it. That I know that You are in control. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand what you're doing. But this I do know, based on the witness of the word, and based on years past that I have walked with you, this I do know, you are sovereign and you are faithful. And through it all, you are good. And because you are good, you are holy. And because you are holy, you have to do everything that you said and promised you would do. So I rest in you. I lay my head down on this pillow and I put my trust in you. Although all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Hang with me for just a few more minutes. But Jesus rested on the word with faith. They woke him up, not the wind.
Right.
The wind didn't wake Jesus up. The disciples woke him up. The water filling the boat, splashing. This wasn't a ship. This was a boat. And Jesus was in the stern. He was in the hinder part of the boat, amen, laying asleep on the pillow, amen. So that means, that tells me, if the water was about to fill up the boat, that Jesus was wet. How many of you have been asleep and somebody threw water on you and you just stayed asleep? Very unlikely. So picture this. Jesus is asleep, and when he lays down to go to sleep, everything's fine. Then the wind picks up, and the boat, amen. How many's ever been on a boat, amen, that's been tossed by waves? And so now it's tossing, and I can imagine the disciples arguing and, amen, talking amongst one another, amen. Now the waves are so high that water's coming in the boat, amen, and filling it up. Amen. I'm inclined to believe, as there were fishermen on board, amen, but they probably would have begun to think, we got to bail the water out of this boat. We got to do this. But through it all, Jesus stayed asleep. Can I tell somebody, hallelujah, that the storm does not move him? Amen. That the severity of the storm does not move him. Hallelujah. But there was something, amen, that woke him up. And it was the cry of his disciples. There's a song, hallelujah. Your cry have awoken the master. Can I tell somebody in here today, in your storm, you feel like God doesn't care, you feel like God doesn't see it, but let me tell you, he's not moved. Amen. Hallelujah. He is not turned by and moved by every shadow of turning. Hallelujah. We said that earlier. Amen. But when you cry out to him, he has heard you. I need you to touch a neighbor and say, the Lord has heard you. Come on, touch a neighbor. The Lord has heard you. So Jesus remained unmoved. So I'm confident that in this season that I'm in, and all of the turmoil and all of the chaos and the storms, hallelujah, that have came, that he has not been shaken. He has not been moved. But I know every time I've cried out to him, hallelujah, he has heard my despair. Hallelujah. Now they said, don't you care that we are perishing? Now, this is just my commentary. It's not scripture. It's just my opinion. Just like you. I've got one. Amen. And at the end of the day, they don't matter. But when I read that, when they said, Rabbi, don't you care that we're about to die here? I believe that we included Jesus. I believe they thought, he's in trouble too. He's sleeping through all of this, and all of us on board this boat is about to be killed by this storm. They thought, I believe, that Jesus was in trouble too. And you say, well, what does that matter? Because it wasn't really a request for him to do anything. They weren't asking him, will you stop this storm? They weren't saying, what could Jesus do? Obviously, they didn't believe that he could do anything in the context that he did, other than pick up maybe a bucket and toss some water, or stand, shake, and quiver and die awake, right? Because so they included him in it. So it wasn't really a request for him to do anything, but it was a protest that he didn't care.
Okay.
Oh, somebody help me.
Come on.
They never said, Jesus, wake up and get us out of this storm. So their mindset was that they were already destined to be destroyed. They were already destined to be to die and to, amen, lose in this issue. Amen. But they were protesting that he didn't care. See, their experience with fishing probably meant they knew what they needed, amen, to get out of the boat. So here they are, rowing, bailing out water, trying to guide direction, doing everything within themselves. And every time they look back, I was imagining them thinking, well, he's going to wake up at any moment. Amen. And here they are trying to maintain this boat. Amen. Trying to row it, trying to keep direction, trying to push against the water coming in. And every once in a while, they would look back to see if it's awake, and somebody say, he's still asleep. And they would look back, and they would look back and say, oh, he ain't awake yet. He's still asleep. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know, amen, which disciple, hallelujah, was bold enough to go to him, but I figure it was probably Peter. It was probably Peter who said, Master, do you not care that we're about to die? Don't you even care that we're about to lose it here? Hallelujah, they did everything within themselves. Can I tell you, stop doing things in your own effort. You cannot change the circumstances. But there's somebody, hallelujah, that's inside of you. If you're a child of the living God, that has given you authority, and you said, what else can I do? I'm about to tell you. I'm about to get, amen, to the crux of my message this morning. Because Jesus woke up, and the Bible says he sit up, amen, or he got up, hallelujah, and he rebuked the wind. Here's where you need to listen if you haven't listened to anything else that I've said, especially those who are in this storm that the enemy's told you it's going to take you out. He woke up and he rebuked the wind. Now when we look at this word rebuke in context here, as it's translated from the Hebrew, it means to tax upon or to raise the price.
All right now.
Can I put that in hillbilly terms? Devil, you're going to pay for what you're doing.
Amen.
It's going to cost you more than this, because I'm not giving up. You're going to give back everything that's been stolen. The years that the locust have eaten, the shepherd of the sun. The years that the cankerworm has devoured.
Yes.
This will cost you something. You're going to hang on my back. You're in for, hallelujah, a battle. Because more is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Touch a neighbor and tell them the enemy is going to pay for what he's doing. I need you to stay with me. Hallelujah. It's going to cost you something. Jesus said to the wind, you just up the price. You think you're going to take us out? Come on, somebody. Then he said, peace. Shalom. We know the Hebrew shalom is peace, and it means nothing missing and nothing broken. Let me say that again. Nothing missing and nothing broken. The peace of God that passes all understanding. In that peace, nothing is missing and nothing is broken. I remind myself of that quite often. Then he said, peace, come, be still. Now he rebuked the wind. But he told the sea, be still. Those two words, that phrase, be still, is translated in the Hebrew. That means to muzzle the mouth. So he told the wind, you just raise the price. Are you hearing me? And he said to the sea, be still. Or he muzzled the mouth of the sea. So if I can put that in plain terms, he threatened the invisible and he muzzled the visible. So he told the wind that they couldn't see, if you don't stop, something's going to happen. And he told the waves that they could see, be still. He muzzled them, shut their mouth to where they had to be quiet. Come on, somebody, help me in this place. Are you with me? He literally drowned the water. He literally drowned the water. And the Bible says, Are you willing to go with me? I'm not finished. And the Bible says that the wind ceased. Complete Jewish Bible translates it, said it came to a dead calm. That means there was not even a hint of a breeze. I thought about, what about the other people that were might have been experiencing that storm? Here they were fighting for their life. Amen. Praise God. Who's to say that Jesus and the disciples were the only one on the sea? Amen. The Bible says there were other little ships that, amen, went with them. Praise God. You hear me? Can you imagine? Just all of a sudden, there came a dead calm. Now here's going. That word cease means to grow weary and tired. Comes from a root word that means cut, reducing the strength, pain, and trouble. So I come to tell somebody this morning that's experiencing this storm, that feels like this might be the one that takes you out, that the enemy is telling you that it's over. Maybe somebody's sitting here today and the enemy's told you your marriage is over. Maybe he's telling you that your health is declining, and there's no turning back. Maybe maybe he's telling you that your prodigal children are too far gone. And that the spirit has been withdrawn from them. I come to tell you that you need to rebuke the enemy. Because when you rebuke the enemy, you're telling him the price just went up. You think you're going to take me out for this little bit? You think this is going to be the end of my victory and my breakthrough? You think this is going to terminate? Hallelujah. But when you rebuke the enemy, see, I think we just fly that out. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you know, we just say he just keeps coming. But according to this, when Jesus rebuked the wind, amen, the wind ceased. The wind got tired of raging. The wind got weary of blowing. So you know what that tells me? That we can make the enemy tired of coming against us. That we can weary the enemy when he comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I said it myself, my mom, may she rest in peace. Used to say it, amen, when somebody would tell her, hey, mom, give her a prayer request, tell her what was going on. I can still hear her saying, boy, the enemy, the devil just don't get tired, does he? The devil just don't get tired, does he? Well, guess what? I believe he does. I believe that we can weary the devil. Come on. Jesus said to the wind, I rebuke you, that thing that you could not see. See, you can't see the spiritual things, amen, but they manifest, amen, in the natural. And so circumstances surround us. So Jesus rebuked the wind, and then the circumstances that surround us, like the waves on that water, will speak to us and tell us, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, that's not going to take place. You're never going to see that. The promises of God are done with you. It's not going to work. This is going to take place. When we rebuke, amen, the enemy, we tell him, you might as well give up, because it's going to cost you more. Hallelujah, the price just went up. You can't have my family. You can't have my wealth. Itself up against you, every carnal spirit, every person that is used, amen, he's behind it all. Rebuke the enemy. Jesus didn't look around and say, wow, what a storm. Wow. That sure was a storm. How many have said that today? after last night to somebody. Phew, that was a song last night, wasn't it? You know what's interesting? Because of our mindset, and I'm about to get to the rest of the conversation. I'm about to bring it to a close. But it's interesting because yesterday evening, as that storm began to blow up, before the rain even came, as the wind started blowing, and I mean, it was blowing, but then all of a sudden it just increased and it started blowing really hard. And Haley said, well, there goes all the pillows. We're going to lose some pillows from the chairs outside. We're going to lose. And then all of a sudden the torrential downpour and the rain, it's like I said, it was coming across the patio doors on the back. I said, it looks like we're in a car wash. It was just sheets of water blowing over. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But when it all calmed down and it stopped raining, I looked out. Every pillow, there was even, we had the two of the pillows from two of the chairs were out there, were down on the concrete, leaning up against the chair. And the whatever they are, the cushions were already bent before the wind even started. I'm sure one of one or both of the grandkids probably did it. Amen. Praise God. But when it was all done and said, everything looked just like it did before the wind started blowing and the storm came. And I thought, we didn't lose a thing. It looks just like it did before the wind and the heavy rain started moving. And that's what the enemy will tell you when you start seeing. See, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it. You can't see the enemy, but you feel the effects of the storm. You can't see from where it's coming from or what was happening, but you can see the effects of it. And the enemy will tell us, But then when it's all over and it's done, nothing's affected the way the enemy said. And so, Jesus didn't say, well, fellas, that sure was a doozy, wasn't it? But he said, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Jesus told them, he said, you have no faith. But now listen to me. I want to present something to you that I'm sure there might be some that maybe your religious mindset or traditions may not let you go past that. But Jesus said, why are you so afraid? He didn't say, why are you afraid? He said, why are you so afraid? So I don't believe that it was the fear of the storm that made Jesus say they had no faith. I don't believe that it was the fear of the storm. See, they were, this was a small boat in a big storm. That is a light thing. Who in their right mind would be a little freaked out? I was talking to a coworker the other day, and we were talking about vacation. We went on our first cruise a couple of years ago. Y'all know we went to Alaska, and I'll never forget the first night that we were laying in bed. You know, we had a balcony room. You could see out. The first time we were laying in bed. Now, see, again, she's downstairs. Luann's more of a warrior than I am. Not warrior, worrier. She might be more of a warrior than me because she lives with me, but she's more of a worrier than I am. And we're laying there, and she said, you realize that we are out in the middle of the ocean. And if something happens, no one will ever know where we are.
Oh my gosh.
I say, yeah, you didn't think about that.
Right.
Not till now. I say, well, I'm here for 7 days. So, A small boat and a big storm is the right thing. I believe it's what they chose to do with the fear that made the difference.
Right.
It wasn't the fact that they were afraid. Jesus said, why are you so afraid?
Right.
Why are you so afraid? What they chose to do with the fear made the difference, because remember, back at the shore, he already said, we're going to the other side. He already said, we're getting over there. He never said, we're going to make our way. He said, let's go to the other side. So he already made the decision and the choice of where they were going to be destined to arrive. Amen. The safe arrival was already promised. Can I tell you, the enemy knows that if Jesus is with you, that you're going to get through it. The enemy knows that if Jesus is on board your boat, for a lack of better words, that he already plans for you to get to a specific destiny. He knows the plans that he has for you. I may not understand it, and I may not like it in the middle of the journey, but if he is with me, hallelujah, the storm cannot keep me from going where he has destined for me today. It's the journey there that the enemy tries to get you off focus. When he comes, and he is relentless. And I don't know who I'm talking to today. You're feeling guilty for feeling afraid, not knowing what it's going to be getting there. But I want to tell you that it's not the being afraid that's the issue. It's what you let fear do to you, and how you let it affect you is the key. You can lay your head down on that pillow and sleep as the wind tosses the boat and the waves and the water comes up in the boat and you get soaking wet. It doesn't have to take your rest.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Because you got to rebuke the enemy and muzzle the storm.
Amen.
Rebuke the enemy. Make him tired of trying to stop you.
Well,
the things that he is doing make the price higher. Tells you there's no use to keep praying. There's no use to read your word. There's no use to go to the house of God. There's no use to praise him. There's no use to study. There's no use to fast. There's no use to do all that. Devil will cost you more than that. So, what if Job lost everything that he had? Except his life. And she told him to curse God and die. And he was covered from head to toe with boils. But he said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. And then when the voices came and his friends, so-called friends, tried to reason with what he must have done, what he must have caused this to come upon him, he silenced. Be still. I know my Redeemer lives. But on the other side of this, God has my destiny. You need to wear out the enemy instead of him wearing you out.
Right.
The Bible says that in the last days that he will wear out the saints. I heard somebody say, I'm not so sure about that. The Bible said in the last days that he'll wear out the saints. Well, he can wear us out. I think we can wear him out before he wears us out. So you have a weapon inside of you through the name of Jesus. You need to take your voice and rebuke the enemy.
Amen.
And let him know the price just went up. You think this song's going to take me out? It's going to cost more than what I've already dealt with. Uh-huh. I know that's a lot to say. And it's not an easy thing to say. But when the Lord is with you, can wear out the enemy instead of him wearing you out. Say, come to the music. You sing with me all across this place today. Different message in my mind, in my spirit yesterday that I intended to preach this morning, but when I got up this morning and I went to get ready, y'all know I get up before the sun comes up. I felt in my spirit that God was going to let me preach that message. And I hate that feeling. Pull in here. It's 4:30. My brain's tired. My body's tired, and I have no idea what God wants to say to his people. It's like being out on that boat. So I can say with all confidence, in the about 40 years that I've been preaching, that I know somebody here today is in a storm. And it's one of the greatest that you've experienced in your walk. And I'll even go as far as saying that I believe the enemy has told you this is it. This one's it. There's no getting out of this. There's no getting past this. Feel that maybe even you've thought, you've imagined what it would be like with those results. And you're weary, you're tired, and even afraid. Now fear is, you know, we've said it before, fear is faith in the devil. I'm not giving fear any room. But the Lord has not sent this word today to condemn you because you feel afraid. It's a little boat in a big storm. So it's natural to feel fear.
But Jesus did not say, why are you afraid? He said, why are you so afraid? It's what they let fear do. They let fear steal their peace and their hope. But God has sent me this morning to tell somebody, it's time to make the enemy pay a higher price. You can wear out the enemy, rebuke the enemy, and speak and muzzle the voice of all of the circumstances. Because Jesus has already promised he's going to get you where he's destined for you to be. So if you're here today and you're lost and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, right now's the time, right now's the day, this is the day for you to make the decision to say yes to Jesus. Because I promise you, this world is going to get more difficult to maintain, and you're going to need Jesus without it. There's destruction. So if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to come. But if you're here, there's some that's already making their way. If you say, I'm in the storm. And the enemy may tell you, well, you know, their storm is bigger than yours, so don't go up there. Listen, if it's the biggest storm you've ever been in, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter. It ain't about the Jesus in someone else's life. We already said that. It's that they took Jesus as he was. Take him right now as he is with you in this storm. If that's you, I want you to come. We're going to pray with you. We're going to wear out the enemy. We're going to make the